couple of great geeks, Dave and Anna, the geekiest people you'll ever meet, on 92.5 KYHY, Geek World, Thursdays at noon.
That's, well, we are back.
What was that all about?
that just, I felt like it ended, like, quicker than I was expecting.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah. Are you in a dream?
I think I
am.
In
a dream?
I didn't get the kick.
In a dream?
I don't think anyone gave me the kick.
No,
you know?
No.
I think I missed it.
I will kick you into a bathtub as quickly as possible.
You know what? I think the anti-gravity, like, I think things were in anti-gravity at the time. You know, they were so, like, you know, when the kick happened, I couldn't feel it.
I could totally sense
someone needed
that,
to take me to an elevator.
I love the subconscious army. That was my favorite part of Inception.
Yeah.
The subconscious fighting back. I thought that was so cool.
Yeah.
And that, you know, didn't require a huge effects budget, so that was pretty sweet. Man, the special effects in that movie were so good.
Anyways.
Ah, Inception ruled.
You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY.
If the Joker was in it, it would be better.
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. This is Anime, the Mistress of the Dork.
Yes!
With my dorkness, Dave.
Yes, the dorkness. I am the darkness.
Yes.
Some people are the darkness. I am the darkness. Yes. And this week we're talking about all the movies we saw because Geek World went to the movies this week.
Geek World went to the movies and then went back. And then went back. And then went back. And then went back.
Yes. We're talking about four movies that just came out. Well, some of them just came out. Some of them were already out. We've already talked about Inception. Next we're going to be talking about Step Up 3D. And later we're going to be talking about Scott Pilgrim versus the World. And then The Expendables.
Yes,
that I've been waiting since I've been 10, and I can't wait to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But let's move on to Step Up 3D. Now, most of you might be asking, why are you guys talking about Step Up 3D? This is Geek World.
And we're asking ourselves the exact same question.
Yes, it's a good question. We're not really sure. Oh, we do know why.
Yeah, we know exactly why.
Yes.
Well, you know.
Because I just want to dance.
Now, it could be the reason that, you know, it's kind of a guilty pleasure, some of these, like, breakdancing movies, because breakdancing kind of rules.
Yeah, breakdancing is awesome.
You know, and it could be a little bit because one of our huge guilty pleasures is So You Think You Can Dance, which has
had tell people that.
Kind of a ridiculous amount of geek stuff on. I know, that's why it's a guilty pleasure.
That's
you know?
True.
We're guilty
true.
About it. We
I'm
feel guilty.
Guilty. I feel guilty.
But you know what? We're still going to let them know.
I feel guilty like Leo felt guilty in Inception. That's how guilty I feel about
it.
That's a lot of guilt.
That's a lot of guilt.
That's a whole lot of guilt.
It's like a tower of guilt.
It's like a building
I'm going
of
to topple your
trapped,
tower of guilt.
It's like a building of trapped thoughts. Type of guilt.
Wow.
With an elevator and everything.
Crazy. Yeah. All in a dream.
It's wild, yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
A dream and this falling and all kinds of weird stuff. And hey, there's Tom Hardy. Yeah, you know.
Yes,
anyway,
darling.
Yes, yeah, yes.
Dream a little bigger, darling.
Sometimes I dream a little bigger, darling. It's always a grenade launcher.
I love Tom Hardy.
Yeah, he's so cool, isn't he? Oh,
like two awesome people like standing there together, Tom Hardy and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I'm all about the two of them.
I'm kind of worried about him doing an American accent because his voice is so cool.
Wait,
it's all like,
when is he going to do an American accent?
He doesn't have.
Why would he
have Mad
to...
Max?
Yeah,
he's Australian.
That'd be dumb.
Boosh! Good call, George Miller. Way to be Australian. Set Mad Max in the Outback. I appreciate it very much. That's awesome.
Oh, goodness.
Just be British. No big deal.
Anyways.
I don't know.
You just stop talking.
I can't help it. I can't stop. Yeah, so anyway, we're talking about Step Up 3D, because we're stepping up to the streets in 3D.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Real quick. The main reason is because we've been talking a lot about how, you know, there's so many conversions out there and people are being really turned off to 3D because of it. And 3D kind of has or at least had the potential to really bring the movie theater industry back.
Yeah.
But with all of these conversions, people are already being turned off to it. And because people don't really know the difference between something that was converted into 3D and something that was shot for 3D, when something that was actually shot for 3D comes out, people are worried about going, you know, paying the extra few bucks to see it in 3D because they've been burned.
So luckily we made a list.
We did?
Another list. Yes, I made a list of movies that have been converted,
oh,
so you know. But we'll talk about that a little later, because, you know, you can't just do the list back to back to back, can you?
I'm sure you would if you could.
I love lists. Oh, man, if I could,
You would make this entire show Dave Reed's list.
Dave's list. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think you're right. I mean, Avatar...
I can never get sick because you can never, ever...
Show myself,
oh, my God.
It would be, like, it would be bad. You know, I think Avatar... you know, a good example of how influential Avatar was to ticket sales was sort of like... You remember when Pulp Fiction came out, and after Pulp Fiction, for, like, the next 5 years, every movie was trying to be Pulp Fiction?
Yes.
Much like, you know, the Matrix. After the Matrix came out, that one 360 shot was in like
everything.
150 movies, yeah. Well, that's kind of like what happened. You know, Avatar came out, and so all of a sudden, everyone was like, oh, 3D is where the money's at.
Well, plus everyone was finding that if they converted something into 3D, people would pay the money to see
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Not knowing any better.
Yeah, and it only cost them $5 million to do it, so it's like nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, unfortunately, people are now already wary of 3D, thanks to, you know, Clash of the Titans.
Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland. Also, what's it? The Last Airbender.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, eek. Not good at all.
Yeah.
So, I think it is important for us to, you know, not only let you guys know what's convergent and not, because a lot of people don't know, but also, you know, to champion those that were actually shot in 3D. Mm-hmm. And Step Up 3D is one of those.
Now, for any of you who would never watch a movie like this, you're going to have no interest in this movie.
Yeah,
you know?
So,
But if you're wondering, you know, a really great use of 3D, if you just want to see something for just a great fun use of 3D, the way that, like, you know, you used to go to the theater and see something 3D and go, oh my God, it's coming out of my face, and you kind of, like, you almost jump back a little, this is the perfect movie for that.
Because, I agree.
Because they actually were able to do a lot of things that made it so that things came straight out, straight through the camera, straight through the screen, and you almost jump back a little because, you know, it actually feels like things are coming out at your face.
Yeah, I think, you know, the planning that went into the scenes, and you could tell that, you know, this was not shot like any other of these dance movies, mm-hmm. because they knew they were shooting in 3D.
They also did a really great plot device where one of the main characters, his thing was that he was a videographer. You know, he wanted to, like, be a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And so he was making a film the entire time. And so a lot of the time he had the camera, and so people were playing to his camera, but then they would switch it to one of the real cameras, like, you know, so that it wasn't like, you know, with all the little, like, recording, you know, but people were still got to act right at the camera, which no one gets to do in real movies because you're not supposed to look at the camera.
Exactly. Yeah.
But it was this perfect device to use because it made it so that everything could be in 3D and actually come straight out the screen at you.
Yeah. You know, I think that the electricity of watching in 3D was crazy.
Yeah.
I think, you know, even if you don't really like these kind of movies, because they're all very much the same basic ideas, same basic story, you know, they're kind of built on the foundation of that, you know, and it's kind of important to keep that because, you know, the dancing is what's important.
Although you got to give this one credit for at least taking a little bit of a different step and having two main storylines that intertwined completely and they kind of gave the perfect amount of time to both of them so that it made it different enough from the other movies, but like you still felt totally complete on both of the main storylines.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to take a second to talk about Step Up, I think it's the best one since the first one. I think that the story was better, definitely a lot better, and I thought the dancing was fantastic.
Come on, you love Step Up to the Street.
I do like Step Up to the Street. So the thing about it is, first, I think dancing's amazing. The dancing they do is amazing because most of it's like hip hop battle dancing. And, you know, I got to say, still my favorite like dancing of all time was in Stomp the Yard by, you know, Chris Brown, who unfortunately, you know, we don't like anymore.
Yeah.
But there was a time when he was going to be the next Michael Jackson and he was an amazing dancer. And, you know, of course he screwed that up really well. But, you know, it's just this one scene. He's amazing in it. And I think that, you know, if you're not going to watch these movies anyway, then you're not going to care.
No.
But I think that if you like dance movies, or if you have like a girlfriend guy, you know, geek guys out there, if you have a girlfriend who like is like wants to see a movie like this, it's a love story and likes dancing, then this is a really good one to take her to because you're actually, it's cool to watch it in 3D.
Yeah, the thing is that, you know, you don't have to go to watch the movie like to actually like watch over the storyline.
Yeah.
You can go to watch it and be like, oh, so this is what like, you know, these 3D movies are supposed to look like. This is what it looks like when they shoot something with a 3D camera rather than converting it. Oh, this is how it's supposed to be, you know?
Man.
It's like, that's just the thing. It's like, you know, we came out of that going, that made 3D fun again, you know?
Totally.
And like, you know, Avatar was absolutely amazing, and you felt like, you know, everything, you could see the depth in it.
Oh, yeah, everything was in 3D in Avatar.
But, you know, things couldn't play at the camera because, like most movies, nothing is supposed to be acted directly at the camera.
Yeah, there's only certain action segments, like when the thing was, like, running after Sam Worthington and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, this one gave so many opportunities to really have things be in 3D. What I think is that you know, dance is one of those, one of the perfect things for 3D. Dance and sporting events, because the whole thing about those is that they are meant to be in 3D. They're meant to be seen from, you know, they're not, they weren't intended to be seen on a TV screen. The TV screen was just a convenience so that more people could see the dances and see the, you know, and see the sporting events. But they're meant to be seen in person. They're meant to be there. And the thing about 3D, the thing about these things that are now shot in 3D with these amazing fusion cameras, which are just, oh, they're so great.
I'm not sure if this was shot with the fusion camera,
I thought, oh, that's not, there's other ones other than the fusion?
Yeah. Oh. That's not the other one. Yeah, it's just, you know.
I thought they were all versions of the fusion.
I don't know. I don't think so. I know the fusion camera is the big new one, but I know that's the one. Then
movies shot in with a 3D camera, a camera totally intended to be.
It probably is a version of the fusion, though. I'm sure it is.
You know, it does. Either way, you know, the fact is that it was intended to be in 3D, and so it was shot with a 3D camera, not shot in a way that could be converted so that it would look kind of cool.
Exactly.
It was shot with a 3D camera, and so, you know. You can really see the difference. You can really feel the difference. I mean, when they would just go by a tree, every leaf on that tree, you could see its depth and you could feel its depth.
Trees come out really good in 3D, don't they?
They come out incredible.
Yeah. And it's always smart. You'll see, notice a lot of movies in 3D start off with trees because you can see it so easily.
And they did a lot of silly things just to, you know, to give you that real 3D effect, like some things with bubbles, and some things with, you know, balloons flying,
anti-gravity slurpees,
exactly. Yeah. And but even more so the dancing, you know, I like
when the girls midriff just came at you at the end. It was like attack of the midriff. Oh, it was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did a really, really great job at making something that was totally intended to be in 3D and showed you what 3D could do and showed you what 3D could bring to it and made you feel like you were there.
Well, I just like that, you know, it was a movie, it had to be filled with young people because it's about dancing, and because it's predicated on that, it helped that everything was in 3D because everyone was right there in your face. I felt that, you know, because the entire thing was shot in 3D, even the stuff in the college, just people talking, a two-camera shot, really, it felt like you were there.
Yeah, it gives you that interactive experience where it's like, I'm sitting in the college with them. I'm at this dance battle watching them. Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh my God, that water is going to splash on me.
So I should say real quick that if you watch So You Think You Can Dance, which we've watched every season of that show, if you watch that and familiar with the characters, this movie's essentially starring Twitch.
Yeah.
The guy, the dancer from, I don't know, two or three seasons ago, Twitch, who was a great hip-hop dancer.
He was so cool.
Who's in this year's, because they're doing All-Star Year. He has a huge part. He's got a part. I mean, he's their technical goo. He's got his glasses without the lenses that he wore, and he's actually a big part of it, and also a big part of a lot of the scenes, the dancing.
Well, and his dancing just stands out because he is so talented.
He's awesome.
He is, oh man. Yeah. You know, and it's funny because the winner from that season, Joshua, was also in it.
Yeah!
And he had a boombox jacket, and it was so 80s. It was so awesome.
It was great.
God, if they had that in the 80s, oh my God, people would have been so excited.
Yeah, it was like...
So he probably would have had to stick a tape in it. You know?
I mean, they tried...
Audio cassette jacket!
They were gonna serve that kid in the restroom. I mean, he showed up. He confronted him in the bathroom,
you know,
and pulled out his speaker.
Instead of you know, fighting and breaking porcelain, you know, they were breaking on porcelain.
Yes, exactly. The problem was, though, you know, Joshua, he was so awesome because he was doing all his flips. We didn't get to see any flips in the bathroom. There wasn't enough room in there.
Hell, you know.
But it was very. I like that there were certain musical aspects of that movie that was sort of funny. Like there were times when there was the fight dancing, like West Side Story.
Yeah,
where people were kind of fighting but still dancing, but it was still in the real world. It was kind of bizarre, but it's kind of awesome.
You know what? If everyone could solve their problems with dance, it would be a much more dancey place.
Yes, a very dancey place. Hey, well, whatever. Still, at the end of West Side Story, someone got shot. So, you know, it's still
yeah, that's
mine.
What I'm saying. You don't need guns. You got dance.
You know,
people nowadays, they know how to serve you. Back then, you know, they were like, you know, I can't serve you, so here's my gun. Boom.
Well, I got to say, pretty soon, if we don't stop talking about stuff about 3D, most of our audience will probably stop listening. So what I'm going to do now is I think we should list off a few things that, cool things about Step Up 3D that maybe the geek crowd will like, okay? So first things foremost, that we already said, shot entirely in 3D, which is huge and very important. By the way, another movie shot entirely in 3D that we've been championing forever now, Resident Evil Afterlife, comes out September 10th.
Nice.
I'm so excited about that.
By the way, any of you who would even consider going to see this in the theater, it is worth the extra few bucks for the 3D. You know,
totally.
It's absolutely worth it.
And anyone who played RE5, I mean, it looks exactly like it. I mean, not only is Wesker there, it looks exactly like Wesker and sounds like Wesker, but
And you know, I say that the same thing goes for Step Up 3D. If you would see that movie anyway, you know, if you would think of seeing it, it's worth going to see it in 3D.
Totally. But Claire Redfield, that thing on her chest, God, like Jill Valentine,
like Jill,
has.
Oh my God.
So cool, right?
Yeah, I'm so glad that Resident Evil Afterlife is really taking so strongly after the game.
Yeah.
So, and you know, like we said, I think last week, you know, as we've kind of watched some of the old ones back recently, and we realized that they really were sticking close to the storyline of the games. The first one actually takes place, it's kind of the prequel.
It's a prequel, yeah.
And it really does, if you rewatch it, you know, I understand, like, you know, the first time, like, a lot of us saw it, it was like, oh, wait, this isn't what we want. Who's this Alice chick? Yeah. Where's my Jill Valentine? Where's my, you know, Chris Redfield? But then you watch it and you go, oh, I see. Okay, so right after this is when, right after this, in this mansion, is where everything, you know, kind of comes to a head in the first game.
Yeah, I mean, really,
you know, and then from then on, like the other movies also incorporate aspects, but this one is like, it looks like so much is just pulled from Resident Evil 5, and it makes me so happy.
Well, really, Resident Evil is really the most successful video game franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, by far. I mean, really, nothing else touches it.
Wait. You mean movie franchise?
Movie franchise.
Okay.
Yeah,
video
yeah.
game movie franchise.
No, yeah, video
so
game.
I was gonna
franchise,
say,
yeah.
I think Mario Brothers might have.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, actual just video games. Yeah, I mean, well, that, I mean, Mario Brothers. I mean, you know, Halo was pretty big. Yeah, Grand Theft Auto was pretty big too. But anyway, so we're gonna go back to cool stuff from Step Up 3D. So first off, you said Shine Telling 3D. Next is, you know what they do for morning training?
Parkour.
Parkour, that's right. One of the inventors of parkour, our pal, David Bell.
Yes.
And by our pal, it means that we, you know, interviewed him.
Yes.
And you know, it was fun to have those parkour elements in it. And also, the main character jumps through a hot dog stand, very Jackie Chan-ish, in the movie, which is very cool. Next thing that's very cool is they had Tron-like glowing shirts in the final dance number.
Yes,
which is very, very cool and very awesome. And to go along with that, the next thing, I mean, if this doesn't get, you know, those of us geeks out there excited, I don't know what will. Lasers.
There are.
Wow.
Lasers.
Oh, you came prepared for this show, I see. It looks like I wrote the list.
Apparently, well,
and you have sound effects.
I didn't even know I had them till today.
Do you have a Doctor Who thing there? Like, affirmative.
No. I've got a laser, a machine gun, which I'll be using later. I've got something called Tron.
Want to hear Tron? Tron, let's do it.
That's Tron, because I think it's one of those things exploding.
Oh, yeah, totally. Good call.
There's siren, which is kind of annoying, emergency, and UFO.
Nice. Mm. Very cool. Do they have a Dalek, though?
No. I just read you everything.
Exterminate! You think?
Yes.
Maybe? No, not so much. Okay. So, actually, next for Step Up 3D cool stuff, I mean, this is the best thing ever. Samurais versus pirates.
Yes.
It's crazy, you know? They got, like, dudes with, like, swords, and they got guys with eye patches and peg legs. They're all, like, fighting on a ship. And it's, like, ponytails and there's all kinds of just cool stuff going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
It's just, like, it's a big action film with pirates and samurais. Not really. No.
No, none of this.
Remember that website, Real Ultimate Power? Wasn't that what it was about?
That was the best. Ninjas versus pirates.
Ninjas versus pirates. Right. Yes. So, So not actual samurais, but those were the names.
They wail on their
crews.
Guitars.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, I did get a tad bit of, The Last Dragon, though, feeling from the samurais, you know, shown off. A little bit of that, yeah. Except the leader of the samurais was no shown off, that's for sure.
He, like, I gotta give them credit for finding the guy that, like, appears, like, he just has the douchiest look ever.
And voice, too.
I mean, I feel bad, like, saying that, because, like, you know, he could be, like, the nicest guy ever, and, like, he's a dancer, he's not, like, an actor.
Ah,
you know, that's the thing, he is that dancer,
oh,
you know?
Wow.
And so, like, but he played douche. So well.
I agree. He's either a really good actor or, like, he won a contest for America's Next Douchebag, because he is just, like, it's, you know, people think it's easy, like, to play that kind of character. It's not. Like, you need to be the certain amount of hateable that you can still watch them but really want them to lose. And it's not so easy to navigate those waters.
He also just kind of seems like he should be, like, on an advertisement pouting in his underwear.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. What is up with those freaking underwear ads with, like, that one dude from Twilight and eggs from True Blood?
Yeah. And then,
like,
and
I'm wearing underwear.
I'm wearing underwear. And then they have to keep bleeping them because they keep cursing.
Yeah.
That's the point, that it's ex-underwear.
Oh, was that?
Your mouth. mouth underwear.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's like Dave, like Kellen Lutz or something. He's like, see, I'm in shape too. And people are like, no one cares.
Do you notice that every single show you bring up Twilight?
No, I brought you
By
brought
the
up
way,
underwear, didn't you?
Well, I brought up underwear, yeah. But like, I was just saying that the guy seemed like he should be pouting in his underwear.
Yes.
I know what you're saying.
You brought it up.
By the way, that vampire.
Yeah,
stuff
I was about
movie,
to say that. Yeah.
Ugh. There was a preview for it on this, and that movie just.
Yeah.
I got to give them credit for going back to old school parody,
yeah,
where it seems like they are specifically parodying one thing.
Yeah, totally.
And you know, and maybe bringing in a few little things here and there from other stuff, but mostly just sticking to the one story, which is what they used to do, which is why parodies used to be really good, because they weren't so like diluted with just trying to, hey, look, we're gonna make fun of everything. We're gonna pretend we're a sketch comedy show, but it's all gonna be one movie that doesn't really make any sense because we don't care.
Well, it's weird because, you know, it used to be like that with like Airplane and stuff like that, and then, you know, they went away for like quite a few years, so, like true parodies, you know, once in a while there was like the Lethal Weapon one, you know,
yeah, but then they were awful, you know,
yeah,
like that's why people didn't go
exactly
like, yeah,
but then Scary Movie happened,
yes,
and it was really good because it was almost entirely based on Scream,
yeah,
and then of course all the scary movies after that became more and more diluted, and as time went on, really I think the Epic Movie was like the worst of all of them. Epic Movie, and was that the one with the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, right? That was just bad. And Disaster Movie was really bad too,
yeah,
and also Meet the Spartans,
yeah, that was also
like
bad.
Insanely horrible.
At least like, you know, that superhero movie was like primarily based
on
Spider-Man,
yeah,
which you know kind of gave it at least that thread to hold together, but
yeah,
that movie was like an hour long.
Yeah, it wasn't too long. It was really funny though. I think for a lot of them, I think that could have done better if like Meet the Spartans hadn't come out like a week before or whatever.
Yeah,
but,
anyway. But I think people were sick of those anyway at that point. But yeah, but this one actually looks pretty funny.
It does.
And one of the little, like some of the little kids in the back of it, they saw the preview and they're like, I want to see that! Like, I wonder if it's because you think it's Twilight or because you actually think it's funny, and I hope it's the latter.
The part when she's going to get crushed by the car and he grabs the Asian kid. That was so funny.
Yeah.
That actually looks like a pretty funny movie. Anyway, to go back to Step Up 3D, cool stuff. Anti-gravity Slurpees.
Yeah.
CG Slurpees, you can't go wrong with that. Next up, I already said that one. Next up is there's this arena that they do a dance battle in Chinatown that looks exactly like the arena in Bloodsport.
Yeah.
Including all the guys gambling.
Yeah.
I've never seen so many people gamble over a dancing event before. It was very interesting. Very cool. I thought people were going to start going, Kumite, Kumite.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen. And, of course, the speaker shirt assault in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
totally.
You can't go wrong with that, really. Oh, and this is the best.
Well, that's the thing. Like, a lot of these things were, like, references to, like, you know, real action movies. It's you know, like I said, you know, a lot of the time in movies, there's that scene in the bathroom where they're, like, you know, breaking through the porcelain with, like, someone's head.
Yeah.
And in this, like, they're breakdancing on the porcelain and like being all upside down and stuff, and like, you know, as the one guy's, you know, escaping the bathroom, but like, you know, it was supposed to be like a battle in the bathroom,
yeah,
just like in those action movies. And like you said, you know, there's that scene where like everyone's betting, and then the, like, you know, and it just looks like one of those fight movies. And
oh yeah,
yeah,
I mean that whole bathroom scene, I kept on thinking of like Casino Royale. I kept on expecting like Daniel Craig to come out and just beat everybody up, you know. It's just like, it's all I could think about. It's like, nice. Anyway, next is this is a good one. Remember Big? Remember the movie Big,
yes,
with Tom Hanks?
Oh, I know what you're going to
There's
say.
A Zoltar machine in this movie.
Can you really get better than that?
No, you really can't. That was pretty fantastic. Like we said, there's a ton of people from So You Think You Can Dance, if you're a fan of that. Twitch, Joshua Legacy, Ashley, Dave Scott, the choreographer, Ivan.
Dave Scott, the choreographer, and then Ivan,
yes,
from one of the
Ivan
early seasons.
Yes.
He was the one who wore like roller skates back in the
day. Yeah, yeah. No, those, he had the shoes. The
shoes, the
shoes
with the skates.
And also
Heelys or whatever.
Also the guy, Mike from Glee, was also
And
he played
was
the
awesome.
Man with no bones.
Yes, he was actually from, I think, Step Up to the Streets.
Yes.
But the other cool thing for us is one of the stars is Allison Stoner,
yeah,
who first off has an awesome name, Allison Stoner.
Yeah,
like,
totally,
you know,
awesome.
But besides that,
I don't know why it's awesome. It's just cool. It just sounds good.
You once taught her how,
yes,
to play Guitar Hero.
Yes, I worked a little for the Disney Channel, and I went to a party, and she was there, and her and the little kids were sitting around, and they were all kind of looking at Guitar Hero, not knowing how to play it, and so I totally showed her and her friends how to play Guitar Hero.
I remember
Hero.
When like one of their moms comes in, is like, "Is he letting you play?"
Yeah.
You're like, I'm just showing them what.
Yeah.
Ew.
Oh yeah,
like,
she's
like, "Don't worry, lady. I'm just helping out here. I'm not trying to steal the game from them.
I'm like some guy in his 20s standing over these kids like playing Guitar Hero. Like, yeah,
you guys suck.
Kids are crying. I want to play now, no, you don't get to. Yeah, so,
this is my game.
I was amazed how polite they were. You know, they're young kids, so but nice. They were super, super polite, super nice kids. So, yes, I did, in fact, teach Allison Stoner and her friends how to play Guitar Hero. So yeah. One of the great moments of my life. That and working with Van Damme, I would say, are definitely my two. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I think working with Van Damme is probably a little above.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I
think so, too. But it's still, you know, it makes for a fun story that we were able to tell right this moment because, you know, we're talking about a movie that she's in.
And, you know, I say after that, meeting LeVar Burton.
It was a great
moment in my life, and I'll never forget it.
Know what else was awesome? Meeting Wil Wheaton.
Meeting Wil Wheaton was pretty friggin' awesome, wasn't it? Yeah.
Of course, all the cast of Leverage was freaking awesome.
And also meeting, and you know, when we did those Battlestar interviews, that was pretty great. Edward James Olmos, come on.
Oh, my God.
Stand and Deliver was, like, the greatest thing ever. And then he fought robots.
Mary McDonnell.
Yes.
She's so beautiful.
She's so beautiful, I know.
So beautiful.
So cool, too. So cool.
Oh, my God.
Big fan, all out. But, yeah, I think overall, Step Up 3D, if you, like we said, if you like dance movies anyway, like, this is amazing.
Yeah, and if
like,
you... And if
the 3D's awesome.
If you're thinking about this and you're like, oh, I don't know if I should spend money on 3D because I've been burned before, spend it. Spend the extra few bucks. It is so worth it.
And we should say for the conversion, you know, because we don't like conversion, I would say the two to watch out for that are converted, you should just see it in 2D or Jackass 3D. Mm-hmm. It's not actual 3D. It's converted. And also Green Hornet. They're coming out with a conversion.
Although I guess if anything could work in a conversion, Jackass might basically only because it's not like a movie where a lot of stuff is going on. It's just like one thing in motion at once. You know what I mean? So if anything could potentially maybe work as 3D, maybe
well,
that
problem
could,
is they
but I think
it,
conversion just doesn't work. Like for me, it barely gives any sort of feeling of 3D.
The thing about Jackass is it's basically shot on DV cam. I mean, it's not very high quality anyway. I mean,
I bet they would have, used one of the 3D cameras if they could, but first off, they're way expensive.
Oh, they're way too expensive.
Off, like,
they would have destroyed
them. They break everything.
Exactly. I mean, they literally usually jump into the camera, so there's no way they could afford to do that. But if you're going to see Jackass though anyway, then, you know, whatever.
But don't expect the 3D to be quality on that.
I have to say, though, I saw Jackass 2 in the theater, and did you see that at all, Jackass 2?
No.
There was the opening scene, they were running from, like, Bulls house, and it was pretty funny.
I gotta say, in at least the previews for this, that high five.
Yeah.
That is freaking hilarious.
Well, it's funny. You know, it's like really all they're doing is like America's Funniest Home Videos, except that's what they do. That's like their job.
Yeah.
And, you know, and they...
And they will do it until they no longer can.
Yeah, and it's stupid and everything, but
they make
cares?
Money and spend no money on it, and
Oh, what about the elevator movie we saw a trailer for? The Killer Elevator, the M. Night produced movie?
What the people behind us are going, why did they keep letting him direct movies?
There's this girl behind us that must have, like, you know, somehow... just been like connected to our brains.
Yeah, seriously. But actually, let's why don't we take another break right now? But we'll be back with you in just a moment.
Two people who really get upset about Smallville. Geek World. Open Thursdays at noon.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best of the world. In the world of geek.
How you doing there?
I ran out of breath.
I know this. I do take people's breath away, you know.
You really do.
Do.
Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Don't sing songs that we don't have rights to.
Good point.
check out our website at geekworldradio.com. And... follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio.
Nice. Yes.
I am Anime, Mistress of the Dork.
Yes.
With my dorkness, Dave.
I'm the dork.
You are the dork.
Yes. I don't think I want to go by that moniker now that I think about it. I can't be the dude. That's already taken.
You're the darkness.
I'm the dork.
I'm mistress of the dark, and you are my darkness.
I am, I guess
kind of like
I'll
your
go
highness,
with that right now.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's your darkness.
Yeah, that's, yeah. We'll work on that. Maybe we'll come up with something cooler than that, but for
well,
right
it's
now,
still gotta, it's gotta go with mine. Yeah, now I am true. Mistress
that's
of the dark.
Can I be like, the geek-tacular geekanoid of geek?
No.
Dumb.
You think that's better?
Yeah, no, probably not. No.
How about your royal darkness?
Yes. Can it be Captain Dark at least?
Okay, you're Captain Dark.
Captain Dark, there we go. Good time. Speaking of Captain, I gotta say, Scott Pilgrim just makes me even happier that Chris Evans is Captain America because Chris Evans
I
rules.
Totally agree.
But I think we said everything about Step Up we want to say, right?
Yeah, I mean the fact that we said as much as we did
is kind of
like
preposterous, is it not? Yeah.
I'm offended by us.
I am too.
Dave, we have offended me.
I'm really surprised people are still listening after all that step up. We probably should have waited until the end to do that one. Anyway, what's really important though is now we're talking about
Scott
Pilgrim
versus the World. Well, some people just tuned in. They don't know what we're talking
exactly.
about.
Yeah, exactly. So don't then in that case stop paying attention to what I'm saying, which shouldn't be a problem.
Wait, yeah, no,
no
but,
way.
But pay
attention
now.
Yeah. Okay, pay attention right now. Okay, super. Anyway, so we saw Scott Pilgrim versus the World came out this weekend. It's a it's an adaptation of a graphic novel that nice, yes, of the same name, and it's directed by Edgar Wright, who of course directed Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz, mm-hmm. and will be directing Ant-Man at some point if they make an Ant-Man.
And I am totally okay with that.
Oh yeah, come on. But you know,
and
this...
I still say Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah, I know, right? It's gonna be Michael Cera now. I totally know. Look at him.
Yeah.
But I think I just the whole time all I can think of is him like you know picking up a building like oh how's it going? Oh sorry about that. Sorry for breaking that building. Yeah, anyway, but I think that you know. I didn't know what to think coming to this movie. I was very excited for it. You know, I like both the director and the actor. I think
and the actress
and the oh yes.
I mean, we've liked Mary Elizabeth Winstead ever since we saw her in Sky High.
I think
which,
I'm gonna
by
do
the way,
an
Sky High, one of those underrated movies that everyone should see because it's freaking cool.
I think Sky High is if not the best, one of the best non comic book adaptation superhero movies ever made mm-hmm. by far. And I gotta say, I might do an ode to Mary Elizabeth Winstead because I love this chick. She is so good in everything she's in, and she's just awesome and beautiful too. So that helps.
And she doesn't even
also.
Need to be dressed in that cheerleader uniform. She
exactly
wore in, Death Proof.
Though I wouldn't have minded all. At
oh
the same
no, of
time,
course not.
You know, because I understand. You know, it's like creative integrity and stuff. You know. Anyway,
but it's okay. We got a cute Asian chick in a Catholic school uniform.
Exactly.
Uniform, so, you know,
she's also Catholic. She also goes you know, school, uniform and everything. Yes. Okay. So anyway, I should say first that we didn't. We've never, you know, read the graphic novels for Scott Pilgrim versus the World. However, I was able to read the first few pages of them, and I got to say, they lifted a lot of stuff directly from the dialogue into the script, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, we've you know recently with a lot of movies had the big complaint that you know they take these movies these comic books and stuff that are like more culty that are you know that have this kind of niche audience built in. They take them and then they dissect them and they take everything that's great about them and they take it out because that's not good for the general audience and that won't bring us in millions of billions of dollars and bring in everyone from moms and dads to the kids and teens and grandma and grandpa too.
Always trying to get the middle ground. Yeah.
And this did not pander. This said we're going for that niche audience. We're going for the people that you know that are into this. We're going for the people that you know were teenagers and kids in the 80s and 90s. You know that remember you know Nintendo like and playing games in the arcade and like you know who remember what an arcade is. You know and this movie is for them and this is going to be their geek anthem. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would say this movie is a comic book adaptation adapted from. A comic book that is basically more in a video game world than mm-hmm. an actual comic world, somewhere in the middle. It's almost preposterous how funny it is. I mean, not only are the
like
lines...
Like, laugh out loud funny.
Yeah, not only the lines really funny, but Michael Cera, I mean, I don't know if he's everyone's cup of tea, but we think he's the best. I mean, he's so cool. I mean, you know...
And he couldn't have been more perfect for this role.
Yeah, I mean, we watched him in Arrested Development, and of course, Superbad, but we saw Youth in Revolt not too long ago, which he's just unbelievable in. And he's just this guy, you know, he's just this really new-age comedian who's so funny and
so good.
The
thing is, you have to like the Michael Cera thing.
Yeah.
Because that's what he does. He does the Michael Cera thing. And I mean, I wouldn't want him to do anything else because, like,
well,
it would be weird.
Yeah.
It'd be really weird because, you know, with his look and just with, like, kind of how awkward he is, nothing else really works.
Well, it makes him endearing, you know? And if he loses that, then, you know, well, and that's why I think Youth in Revolt was so good that a lot of people didn't see is the fact that he got to play the psycho character, too. And he was really good in it, you know? And he was actually kind of intimidating for as strange as he sort of looks. And and I thought he's just perfect for this role. I mean, everything is so cool about this movie. First off, real quick, Scott Pilgrim is this guy, he's in a band, and then he meets this girl that, you know, is like, you know, that he's dreaming about, and but then, you know, before he can date her, he needs to defeat her seven evil exes.
Yes.
Which are, you know, basically this league of people that she dated who are all trying to ruin her, you know, romantic life from here on in.
They were trying to control her romantic life.
Exactly. And basically, you know, some of the really great people he fights, obviously obviously Chris Evans plays one, which is he's basically a movie star now. And Chris Evans, you know what's so cool about him is he was able to do a lot of action and comedic roles in his career. I mean, really, he's only done a few serious roles like Sunshine and Street Kings, but other than that, you know, like Fantastic Four, obviously Johnny Storm was kind of comedic slash action. Teen movie keeps on showing up on like HBO and Showtime.
Yeah.
He's been able to have this really good balance of these kind of roles, and he was so unbelievably funny in this. Like he played this really cocky, like super douchebag, like, you know, actor guy, and he was just fantastic.
You know, it's funny, like I think because of the Fantastic Four movies, we kind of like had a little like feeling towards him. But then
Everyone saw
Sunshine.
Yeah.
We saw Sunshine. And by the way, for any of you who haven't seen Sunshine,
yeah,
you should, for so many reasons. But, like, you know, if you're wondering if Chris Evans is going to be able to really pull off, you know, the seriousness that it's going to take for a lot of Captain America,
yeah,
see Sunshine and you'll understand that he can do that kind of more, you know, heroic, stoic thing.
Yeah.
Well. He can do it really well, and he can do it without corniness, too.
I agree. You know, I think
He like pulled off corniness perfectly.
Yeah, I mean, Fantastic Four was completely the fault of the studio that made it and the director. I mean, it had nothing to do with him. And you know, and I thought he was actually fairly good in it, all things considered, considering, you know, the rest of what was going on. I think he's kind of been unfairly labeled as just, you know, not good because he's, you know, he's got a lot of the same type of roles in these,
yeah,
really not good movies. But like you said, Sunshine, he's unbelievable and he's totally fantastic in it. And it was really the first time for us. And so I think, you know, don't just, you know, if you think it's a bad idea for Captain America, don't just base that off of Fantastic Four,
mm-hmm,
because you're not getting a full picture,
yeah,
at all.
Not at all.
But yeah, he's just fantastic as this guy, as this character, and like all of his stuntmen.
Oh my
Pilgrim.
God.
I mean, what's really cool about it is that, you know, this movie is like in the real world. You know, Scott Pilgrim is a guy, he's like a 22-year-old who's in, or 23-year-old who's in a band. And
I think he's 22 in the movie, but he was 23 in the book.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Well, either way, and he's in his early 20s and he's in a band and he's now been broken up from like his big love for like a year.
And by the way,
totally
the name
him.
Of the band is the Sex Bob-ombs.
The Sex
so
Bob-ombs,
for any of those,
yeah,
those of you who don't recognize Bob-omb, that's an old Nintendo reference.
A lot of video game references in this movie,
yeah,
because it is essentially
like
a video game. In a
yeah,
way.
And it's a lot of references from our childhood.
Yes.
And oh man, I love that. I love it.
I have to say, along with you know, Michael Cera and Chris Evans being really great, and Brandon Routh, which we'll talk about in a second, how great he was, I have to say, Kieran Culkin was fantastic. Kieran Culkin played his cool gay roommate, as they called him, Wallace.
Yeah.
And he was just like, he was actually...
He was perfect.
He was great. He almost sort of did the same thing like Neil Patrick Harris does in How I Met Your Mother. You know, he was just really cool and laid back and,
mm-hmm,
just like awesome.
Yeah.
And he was so funny. And the whole thing when Michael Cera first got attacked by the first of the exes, and he's like, what am I going to do? And Kieran Culkin, he has like his beard and goes, fight!
Yeah.
It was like a video game. He's like, okay. And then he starts fighting. And it was just the whole thing with him and like them in that one room sleeping in the same bed was just so funny.
Oh my god.
Yeah, and the stuff that they grabbed from the comic book, I mean, that whole thing, like the look of everything was just like the comic book, and the whole like where it labeled like, you know, all of Scott's stuff and Wallace's stuff and how Scott had like nothing basically, you know, that's all from the graphic novel. And I think really, you know, some of the cool things that I really liked is during the battles when he would defeat his enemies, they would become coins.
Yeah.
Like essentially they would become points.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, that's sort of like, I think that this movie might be a little difficult for people kind of, I think anyone over maybe 45, it would might have a problem with this movie because it's very meta. It's very sort of like they're in the real world, but they're not because they're also sort of in this video game world. But it's not like Tron where it's obvious they're in a video game world because, you know, like his sister works at Starbucks, you know, they have real world problems. But then all of a sudden he's having like, you know, fights like Super Smash Brothers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's kind of, you have to kind of go along for the ride and realize that's the world that they're in.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it is very self-referential, you know, but there's even weird stuff like the pee bar. You know, I remember a lot of people writing about, you know, like when he walks in the bathroom, he had a little yellow,
yeah,
bar, and when he peed, it went down.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought all that stuff was really great. I thought it was really funny. You know, the first 30 minutes had really nothing to do with the fighting or any of the superhero stuff.
Yeah.
And I just liked the movie itself. It was very sort of like Nick and Nora, except, you know, he was even more pathetic.
You know, it's one of those movies that, you know, if you were, you know, a kid or teenager in the 80s and 90s, you will probably really enjoy this.
Yeah.
And if you're into art films, I kind of feel like you'll enjoy it for a totally different reason, because that's the other thing. Like, so much of it is like just really done really artistically. And one of the things that I thought was just great was we get really annoyed with a lot of movies nowadays because of how they shoot fight scenes.
I agree.
You can't see what's going on. Everything is so close up. And you know, they used to do that because they were trying to hide that people couldn't fight, you know? And so, like, they would go really close up because then you don't see that they're not really kicking each other and they're not anywhere near each other and they kind of suck at it, you know?
Well,
And it hid a lot of stuff, but it makes it so that you have no idea what's going on, and it's like, and it's not cool, and it doesn't look good, and it doesn't work well.
I could be wrong. I kind of put that back to, I think the start of when it was done in a lot of big movies was Gladiator, and I could be wrong, but that was also for very stylistic purposes. You know, Ridley Scott knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
And it kind of got, like, perverted after that. Well, the problem was, one of the big ones
kind of like slow-mo shots.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. One of the problems, though, and, you know, John Woo was really the one that made that really popular. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, Batman Begins was one of the big ones that did it, but they did it for a reason, because but he couldn't do anything in that Batman suit. It was so big and clunky. I mean, they made the Batman suit to look like something Frank Miller drew, and so it was more stylistic than anything else, which is why the Dark Knight suit, you know, it had to be so mobile.
Yeah, but, and they actually made that a point, to actually talk about that in the movie.
Exactly. But, you know, so Dark Knight had a lot of that, and you couldn't really tell what was going on. And I remember the first Transformers was really difficult, and they do that a lot. And, like, the A-Team, we had a big problem with that. And even the Expendables, we were talking about later, we had a problem with that also.
Yes.
But, like, the point you're trying to make is the fact that this is not an issue in Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah.
And the fact that, you know, the way that Edgar Wright shoots it, you can see all the action. You're never really confused about what's going on.
Yeah.
I mean, and a lot of it is too shot like a video game. You know, you'll get a lot of the kind of that wide shot of, like, you know, Scott versus. And, you know, you'll see, like you're still like a game of Tekken or something like that, you know? Like, you'll see the two guys in the versus sign in there. And I also like all the onomatopoeia, you know, all the like, you know, the Batman circa 1969, like when the phone rings, you know, you see ring.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, ding dong for the doorbell. And you know, that was also, you know, from the graphic novel. So now we're going to spend a little second talking about Miss Ramona Flowers, which is, you know, the girl who he's going after, played by Mary Lou Winstead, who I got to say, we've both really loved ever since Sky High.
Yeah, because I said that when we first started.
Yeah, I know, but I got to say it again. And,
okay.
You know,
I approve.
You know, she's been in a lot of stuff, like she was in Bobby, I know, and she was in Final Destination 3.
Live Free or Die Hard.
Yes, Live Free or Die Hard. And also
Bruce Willis, who is also in The Expendables.
Yes, and... Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bruce. Yeah, that was like the best scene in the movie, The Expendables.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, and also she was in Grindhouse, the Death Proof version, in a cheerleader costume.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just think she is just awesome. I think she's not only a good actress, but very beautiful, and I just hope that she continues going. But I gotta say, I was really, when I first saw shots of her this movie, I was a little worried, because I've never seen her so skinny before.
Yeah.
She's like a 5'8", like, you know, like a like curvy girl.
But really, she couldn't have been as curvy as she usually is, because she would have just, like, you know, eaten Michael Cera up.
Yeah.
Like, it just, like...
That was my biggest problem with Nick and Nora, is, like, you know, Kate Dennings there, just
Kat
like
Denning,
Kat
yeah.
Dennings, yeah, sorry, Kat Dennings, you know, is she's shaped like a woman, and Michael Cera is so kind of like skinny and awkward that it just was sort of, it looked bizarre, like the shape difference. And so I think it also worked for the character of Ramona Flowers. Let's also talk about Brie Larson, who played his ex Envy, who's now a big rock star who, you know, totally destroyed his confidence.
All I can say is that if she was the one singing in that scene where she was singing, she is awesome.
She's great, yeah.
Like, and she just looked super hot, we love her on Tara.
She's great.
So funny.
She's
and,
great.
Like, you know, like I said before, she's one of these young, you know, young, really funny actresses.
Yeah.
And I think, like, you know, I don't know. I'm excited for, like, at some point when, like, you know, I see her and, like, Emma Stone and some of these other young female, like, just comedy actresses, like, it'll be great.
Well, let's talk about her new boyfriend in the middle of the film, which
Todd.
Is Todd, played by Brandon Routh.
Oh my God!
Yes,
super vegan.
Yes, he does not eat anything from an animal. Therefore, he has basically telekinesis. He has mental powers.
Yeah,
and I love, like, they gave him, like, these cool, like, wide eyes and almost like Super Saiyan hair.
Yeah, pretty
you know,
much
got, like, white and kind of became pointy,
and glowy.
And you know, I think that what the cool thing about Scott Pilgrim, like any video game or like any superhero movie, is, you know, each new character has new powers and he has has to find new creative ways to defeat them.
Mm-hmm.
And he was definitely one of the hardest ones, and it was just great. You know, he was really funny. Poor Brandon Routh, you know, he's had to kind of get out of the shadow of Superman now because of, you know, not only the failure of Superman Returns, but the fact that he was the unfortunate scapegoat, which, by the way, we've talked about this many times, but Brandon Routh was the best part of that movie. And anyone who thinks Kevin Spacey or Kate Bosworth or Bryan Singer did a good job are crazy.
Yeah.
Because they didn't. And
no, they didn't.
They were not good at all.
But no, Brandon Routh, they're terrible and ruined and really ruined what the roles were supposed to be for both of them. Brandon Routh, on the other hand, he did the best he could with what he was given, but the role that he was given and the lines he was given, just like, that was what took away from what Superman was.
Yeah.
That they made it so that, oh, well, you know, Kryptonite, that's old. We've got to hurt him in the heart.
Yeah.
It's like, no, no, you don't. And you know, people really, like, you can't blame Brandon Routh for that. Like,
all.
He did a great job. And if you don't believe, like, how great he can be, I mean, he was amazing on Chuck.
Yeah. Oh, he's so unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, he's just really, really good and really dependable. And I see him getting, like, a really good TV role at some point and being, you know, having some success there because he deserves it.
Mm-hmm.
He's really, really good. And I also think the only problem with him as Superman was the fact that he looked so young, and the whole, like, whole plot was it was Superman 5 years after Superman 2. And it was just sort of bizarre. But that was all on Bryan Singer and the writers.
Yeah.
So I thought, you know, Brandon Routh was just fantastic in this role. And when the vegan police dropped in, that was like
my
the coolest
God.
Thing ever.
Yeah. Especially because of who they were.
Yes. Should we say who they are? Or should we let the audience be, like, wowed by that when they
let's
see
let's
it?
Let's let the audience be wowed by
that.
Yeah,
by the way, you know, this movie got beaten by The Expendables.
Of course.
I gotta say, this movie is really worth seeing. I think, you know, Inception is the best movie of what we've
seen. Of what we saw, yeah. In terms of a quality film.
Yeah, it's great.
It was definitely Inception.
Yeah.
But in terms of, like, what we came out of like still thinking about and just still just getting such a kick out of, like, you know, even a day later, you know, it's all about Scott Pilgrim.
I can really see Inception winning a few Academy Awards. It might even win Best Picture. I think it'll definitely win editing. I think it'll definitely win sound design.
Yeah.
And I think it'll a lot of technical stuff it'll win. I don't know about, you know, Best Picture. And I wouldn't be surprised if somebody got a Best Supporting Actor nod either.
Hey, but Dave, you know, Scott Pilgrim does have Academy Award nominee Anna Kendrick.
exactly. Yes, she does. Yes. See, now you're bringing up Twilight because she was in Twilight. There you go.
No, I was actually bringing up that
She's
other
also
one she was
up in the air.
Yeah, the one that she was nominated for an Oscar for.
What is with George Clooney in those American ads? The American? What's with that? What's that all about? Oh, the whole time I'm watching, I'm like, George Clooney, you're not Matt Damon. You're not Matt Damon.
Hi, I'm George Clooney, and I'm old.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I know you guys are all buddies, and you're like, I'm cooler than Matt Damon, but no, it's not working, buddy. It's not working at all. But hey,
we're not saying we don't love you.
No, it's great. George Clooney's awesome.
You know, you just keep on doing what you do because you're freaking cool.
It's just kind of bizarre. It just feels weird. It's like a, you know, round peg, square hole type deal. Anyway, you know, man, I love Scott Pilgrim so much. I think this is the movie I enjoyed most.
Yes.
I thought Inception was unbelievable and, you know, was mind-boggling and all that other stuff. And I liked
Mind-boggling. Yes. When your mind is trapped in a bottle.
Exactly. And I like Expendables and Step Up for very much the same kind of idea, the niche kind of things that they represented. But really, Scott Pilgrim had the full package for me. It was funny. It was dazzling to watch. The special effects were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The acting was great. And you know, it's just so funny. And the music was also excellent.
Yeah.
You know, Scott Pilgrim is in a band, and the music was just unbelievable.
Yeah. It was, oh, man. And the CGI stuff was really fun, but so was, like, the wire worky fight stuff.
Yeah.
Like I was saying before, you know, this movie it goes totally against what so many action movies are these days. It shows that you can shoot real action scenes and show exactly what's happening and have it like a more wide shot and you can see everything that's going on and it could still be amazing.
I agree. And on top of that, I thought
they were so fun. Everything was so fun, and the dragons versus the gorilla and the
that was cool. Yeah, the amp battle was amazing. It was very it reminded me of Yu-Gi-Oh. It was just so cool. And I think
there was like an amp battle in one movie. There was another movie with a wall of stereos.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Exactly. Well, yes. Exactly. Yes. I also think, you know, it's funny because
people hitting each other with giant
that
hammers.
Whole sound thing, the whole sound like sound wave attack stuff. You know, not only reminds me of, you know, older stuff like Dune, but also reminded me of Kung Fu Hustle.
Yeah.
And you know, I was really thinking how the effects and kind of demeanor of Scott Pilgrim, and I don't know if this is going to help or hurt for people, but I felt it was very much like it reminded me of some kind of hybrid between Speed Racer and Kung Fu Hustle. That kind of like the fighting stuff definitely reminded me of Kung Fu Hustle, like big time. time.
Yeah.
Pretty much most of all was Kung Fu Hustle. And yeah, overall, I think it's great. I think that people should really go and see it. I think it doesn't matter if you're not familiar with the graphic novel. I think
it's yeah, almost... it seems that they really went for getting the graphic novel, adapting it for the big screen. You know,
yeah.
like taking it and. You know, and not just taking little pieces and then destroying those little pieces like what they did for Dragon Ball. But actually taking the graphic novel and taking very nice, very, very much care.
Yeah.
In adapting it for the big screen.
I think, you know, I think if they had, for the Dragon Ball movie, I think if they had James Marsters there just, like, you know, vomit up eggs, I think it would have been a lot better. You know, a little more accurate to Dragon Ball, the anime. I think that would have worked out better, huh?
Mm,
don't you think? That,
yeah.
That's what it was missing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Vomit
that's
eggs?
Totally yeah, what the problem
exactly.
was.
Exactly. That was it.
Oh, yeah.
If they had done
totally.
That, it would have been, like, amazing.
It's the only problem.
Film.
Yeah, yes. that's it.
Academy Award
you got it.
Dragon Ball, the film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and one of Ramona's other exes has also been in a movie, or not a movie, has also acted with Michael Cera before.
Oh yeah, which one is that?
Mae Whitman.
Yeah, Mae Whitman from Arrested Development, right?
Who also is the voice of Katara in Avatar: The
yes.
Last Airbender, the animated series,
yes.
Not the awful M.
Yeah,
Night movie.
Let's not talk about that. Oh, by the way, she's also like the only voice of Tinkerbell. Apparently, Tinkerbell never really had a voice before
in Disney movies. Yeah, well, I mean, like in Hook, you know, obviously it was Julia Roberts.
Yeah,
but yeah, she didn't used to say anything.
Yeah, so she is the voice, and she plays the her lesbian ex.
Yes.
From
her sexy phase.
Her sexy phase, yes. I like when she calls Ramona Flowers a has-been.
Yes.
There was also some really great lines. I like they kept on calling his 17-year-old girlfriend Knives. I like
yeah.
how they kept on calling her your fake teenage girlfriend.
Yeah.
And yeah, it was just, I gotta say, you gotta see it.
Oh my God. It's worth taking the time to see it.
And I also think that Michael Cera, you know, obviously a lot of it was stunt guys doing the fighting, but some of it was him, and I thought he did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, because of the world you were living in, the world that we're in, rather, I didn't really feel like it was weird that, he was able to fight.
I like that everything, it's kind of like, it's a metaphor for, like, you know, young adult teenagehood where everything seems like the end of the world.
Yeah.
Everything seems like, you know, you're battling for life, you
yeah.
know? It's like life and death, but, like... But it's also, that is the world that this is.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's,
you become
good.
Coins if you're defeated, so yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. And I thought,
you kicked him so hard, he turned...
yeah, you kicked my boyfriend so
hard. He exploded into coins.
Yeah. I thought also Jason Schwartzman, who plays the main bad guy, is so cool. He's so funny. I mean,
oh my God.
Ever since Rushmore, he's just an amazing comedian, and he was perfect for
yeah,
the role.
Yeah, so it's an absolutely, absolutely worthwhile movie
totally.
For you to check out. But why don't we take another break, and when we get back, we'll talk a little bit about The Expendables.
The Expendables, yes. And maybe Dragon Ball Kai if we get an opportunity.
Yeah. So we will be back with you in just a moment.